Welcome to the Embodying Aware Parenting Podcast.
Exploring what parenting feels like from the inside out with Sarah Devoy and Vicky Plomer. Hi, Vicky. It's great to be here with you today for our Embodying Aware Parenting podcast. And I'm aware that those are absolutely massive words, embodying and aware parenting. It's such massive themes and quite mysterious, actually. If I was a parent listening in for the first time, I would have no real idea with what that feels like. So, I mean, just to give a little overview about what we're about is that what we're really hoping to offer for parents, new parents, maybe parents who've been in the game for a bit of a while. We're in a way wanting to companion parents at the worst moments of parenting and the very best moments of parenting. And we can unfold about what that's all about as we go through, but we want to make this tangible and practical. So, you know, if you're anything like me, I just get totally overloaded with all the books out there, all the blah, blah, blah on the internet. And I'm just thinking, well, how does that relate to my life? How does that relate to those desperate moments in the kitchen when I'm trying to get something done? So I want to be really tangible about this, Vicky. So I think we're on the same page about that. We want to keep this really embodied, really connected to everyday life. But firstly, could you tell us a little bit more about Aware Parenting, about Dr. Salter, and about her vision? That would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do completely agree. It's about those moments where we can embody what kind of parenting we want to offer our children. So I really love how you put that, Sarah. So, Aletha Salter, she is a Swiss-American developmental psychologist. She's recognized internationally. She's got six books out there. And her focus on aware parenting, which we are both instructors of aware parenting. And I'm going to read this little bit from her book. So it says, aware parenting is comprised of three basic aspects: attachment style parenting, non-punitive discipline, and acceptance of emotional release. And for me, the third one, acceptance of emotional release, has been transformative for my parenting and with my three boys that I have. And I've found that this style of aware parenting is really focusing on what Aletha, I love what she does, where she focuses not only on the child and their needs, but actually on you and your needs. And they're actually coming from a place where both needs can be met. So it's taking away authoritarian or the permissive approach and coming from a democratic approach where both needs are met. And that was not something modeled in my upbringing, where the parents' needs were met and then the child's needs, you know. And so actually when I went into being a parent, was not looking after myself and my needs, and definitely was not in a position to embody what that might feel like to then pass that on to my children. Mm. I really love those aspects.
No, those three aspects are huge, and perhaps we could even break them down a little bit, because I think, you know, many people listening would have heard of attachment parenting, and the exact phrase that Dr. Salter uses is interesting, because certainly before I knew about aware parenting, I'd heard of attachment parenting, which I practiced for a period of time. I thought this was great, you know, keeping my baby kind of like a little kind of kangaroo kind of in a pouch all the time, and don't really go to the toilet even without your baby there. And I know the showers were a bit awkward, but you didn't really need them because you had to be attached to your baby all the time. And I took it to the max, I have to say, and I totally exhausted myself and felt guilty for putting my child down and all sorts of things. So the piece that you're bringing in, and perhaps we'll be exploring in depth, you know, over the series, is that feeling how we're in the picture as well as the parents. Because I think it's an odd thing becoming a parent, isn't it, Vicky? But it's really like this whole guilt game. I don't know whether it comes with parenting or whether it sort of attaches to us a bit like Velcro, but it's like, ooh, you know, I should be doing more. I could be doing more. And, you know, those things, you know, in little groups that I've done, that there can be that feeling that I'm not enough, I'm not doing enough, and I'm not even attaching enough to my child, you know. So all of those themes can become a bit of a bind if we let them, can't they?
Absolutely. And attachment style parenting, I mean, there's so much out there now about what that is and what that looks like. And I think what's really exciting for us in this podcast is looking at how might we embody that attachment style parenting. So what does that feel like in our bodies? Because actually another aspect of aware parenting that I really love is the fact that we can put loving limits in, and that we can say to our children, and that's a whole other podcast that we'll get onto, but that we can put in when we feel like we're completely touched out and we can't offer any more touch to our children. Because we know if we're coming from a place where our body is overstimulated and we're not able to give that full connection and really want that touch, then what their child is receiving is not really, yes, I want to be with you, yes, I'm going to touch you, but they're not receiving that, they're understanding the underlying need that actually they don't, you don't want to touch them. So it's about how we can really notice for ourselves what we need right then in that moment, and how we can offer that for ourselves to ensure that the children that we are looking after are able to fully receive what we're really meaning and needing at the time. And so then can be met really real. I think it's becoming that real connection and attachment, you know, like a real tangible, heartfelt, emotional connection and attachment to a child that I think has been missed from other perhaps parenting styles.
No, I really get that, what you're saying, Vicky. And I think it's also allowing for the intelligence of the child, because if we take it, like certainly in my book with, you know, I've done a lot of pre and perinatal studies, and in that world, it is certainly, you know, it goes as a given that the child is sacred, the child has that awareness and that consciousness all the way through. I'm talking from conception onwards. So, you know, to think that you can, you know, have a smile on your face, but not, but have a different feeling on the inside, that doesn't wash with kids, doesn't wash with animals, doesn't wash with the pussycat. So, you know, why would it wash with a baby? You know, we have to be real, don't we? We have to really make sure that we include our needs as part of the program. Otherwise, you know, we're just kind of awash with our sort of empathetic trying, but we're just, you know, losing the plot.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And when, you know, whatever the way the child arrives to you, we can be quite burnt out already from the beginning. And so how do you recover whilst you're caring? How do you heal as an individual person while you're caring for your child or baby, you know? And it's like you're saying there, it's not what we say is not necessarily what we're feeling sometimes, and how can we marry the two so that the children and the babies can fully feel our deep true attachment and love, and how that be synced together. And that's the bit that I find super exciting, that we can kind of push past the facade and get really down to the real nature of what's going on inside of us, and then to be there fully with the child. And I love, there's a part in this first book, The Aware Baby, that Elisa Salt has written, where she talks about some assumptions that are made. And actually the one is about that babies know what they need. Babies are fully aware of their needs. And actually often it's us parents or the caregivers that get in the way of the children and what they really need. And actually they have all the intelligence they need and emotional awareness to heal daily, but often we can put our stuff on them, so to say, and get in the way. So how do we remain in our bodies in the moment and in the here and now to be able to be fully present with our child, to allow them release whatever stress and trauma they have in the day?
You know, that's beautifully said. And actually, what's something that perhaps we can unpack a little bit more in the program is that in the Aware Baby, there's some beautiful kind of reflective opportunities that if we start with ourselves, if we stop to think, okay, well, how do I actually feel when my child is crying? You know, what does it, where does it take me? Where does it take me? That sort of, you know, we can obviously explore what that was like for each other when we first began to do this. But where do those kind of piercingly high-pitched screams take us at times? Or the endless pulling of our leg? Like, where do we go? Where do we get lost with all of that? And, you know, I think having those wonderful reflections for how we were brought up, what happened to us when we cried when we were small, all of that, bringing all of that open into the picture, even talking to our kids about it, it just really builds connection. Because the thing that I love about the aware parenting approach is it's so relational. It's not about, I don't know, the kind of parenting style I was brought up with. You've got to be this kind of front, if you want, you know, the parenting front. You've got to be the stuffed shirt parent, if you like. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. It's time for bed. It's time to eat your food. You know, there's nobody home. There really isn't anyone home behind this facade. You know, my mother might have been crying on the inside, or, you know, wanting to rush to get out the door. But I never saw that. I never really felt that. And, you know, that's what I want to bring to my children. It's what I want to bring to, you know, my clients, that joy of presence. I want to meet you, Vicky. I want to meet you as in your wholeness. I don't want you to have to pretend to me that, you know, you've had a good day and you're smiley, happy, clappy mummy. I want you to be real. I want you to be free to be yourself and fully you, which is, for me, is what embodiment is about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it is that chance to say deeply what is being felt inside, and and how that connects into you and where you feel it in your body is so interesting, to be able to connect in and notice where the stomach is turning, or the chest is compressed in, or the jaw might be really tight. Perhaps the shoulders are up by the ears and you don't even realize it. Perhaps the arms and the fingers are tense and we don't even know, you know. And having that awareness to even say, or to even witness that with your children and be noticing, see your face is getting tense and your, you know, or your body seems really rigid right now, or whatever it might be. But bringing that awareness and being the movement for your children that they might need in that moment, or modeling to them what it might be like to relax the face and to, you know, move the neck and the shoulders, or whatever that might be, or even bringing in a few games that can bring in an extra bit of connection with body contact or movement, all that to be present in the moment and in the space.
That aspect of play is so fundamental, isn't it, to that third principle that Dr. Salt is talking about, and that whole idea that we can learn through play. And I mean, let's face it, I learn through the play. I wasn't really brought up into an environment where, you know, I'd roll around on the floor with my mum or my dad. It would be so other to the way that I was brought up. I couldn't even imagine rolling with the lady that, you know, used to look after me. It was very much like, do it this way, do it that way. So the idea that I could actually, you know, this will be obviously something that will deepen and explain a bit more, but the idea that I could bonk somebody on the head with a pillow and have power over my parents, oh my goodness, that would be something else. Whereas, you know, aren't you respecting me? You don't speak like that to me. I feel, yes, I can. If my kids were hearing me now, and my kids are much older than yours, Vicky, but they would be saying, didn't you just listen to us? We are your teachers. You know, what do you know about play? We can show you how to play. We can show you how to sort of get off your trolley, get off your pedestal, just be with us. Just come down to our size, and we have the answers. Yeah,
and that circles right back round to that place of getting out of the way to allow the children to be them, and to allow them to be and learn in the way that they need to learn, you know, and the way that feels right for them in their bodies in that moment. And so much, you know, is, and still now I get caught out so many times from my own journey, you know, that I, my own, what I received as a parenting, like you're talking about then, you know, how that was, how I was parented. And I look at my children and I suddenly, and I'm already going, no, we need to do, and then I'm like, oh, hold on, who, what parent are you? Where have you come from?
Yeah.
And that moment where you're completely not in the here and now and you're gone and you've been, you're dissociating or you've gone into hyperarousal, which again is elements that we'll discuss further, and your body is just not right there and you're coming from a place from your journey and speaking, you know, in a place which then the guilt and shame that you discussed about earlier as well can just jump on in because it's not how you want to be in that moment with your children. But again, understanding our lineage, understanding the trauma that's passed down from generation to generation, and having the sweet compassion that I really love, which I learned through my aware parenting journey, of feeling deep compassion for my journey to be able to put down any kind of pressure that I've put on myself and, you know, any guilt or shame that I felt, to be able to come back in the moment much more quickly to be with the children and then kind of move on to a place of parenting that I would want to be, where often it, in the past, goodness, it would take me such a long time to, I'd have spoken in a way maybe quite authoritarian, or I'd have been really permissive and then later on thought, oh, why did I say that? I don't want to do that. And then come back and jumping around all over the place, and then would take such a long time to come back to a place where I could meet myself with compassion first, in order to then sit with my children and really notice what actually they needed, and looking behind the behavior, behind the words, and really seeing what is the body saying, what do they actually need right now, when they're shouting go away, leave me, what are they actually needing right now, what is they wanting from me right now, rather than getting caught up in my own story and lost in my own, well, probably completely disconnected from my body and not aware of really what was happening, and then to be able to come back to them much quicker now than what I have been able to in the past, which is so delightful to have that process and to see the effect it can have on the family. And I think that's one thing, if you're a new parent or parented for so many years and you've just hearing about aware parenting, I would absolutely say you just need to give it a try. You need to give it a try and see for yourself how it feels for you and your family. And there is one other bit actually I wouldn't mind just sharing from Aletha's book, which I really liked. She put in there, it will work well only if you keep thinking creatively about what is best for you and your family. And I think that's a real invitation to remind us that aware parenting, for me, has been a life-changing approach to parenting. But I really have enjoyed my journey bringing more trust into myself and into my family unit, trusting my husband and our journey, and trusting the children and their journey, and finding ways, absolutely influenced by Aletha's work and by aware parenting, but also trusting in my own and my children's way of healing, and bringing in that creativity to create the games that we're going to talk about and create the play, but to be guided fundamentally by my body and by what I'm feeling in the moment to enable me to be present with the children.
But it's an interesting one actually, Vicky, with what you're saying, because I feel we've kind of, I won't say avoided, but I wonder, have we avoided the topic of rewards and punishments?
Oh, yes.
Which is number two on the list, you know, one of the key principles. And it's kind of a bit of a wibbly wobbly one that I can get a bit wibbly wobbly about sometimes. And I have to sort of reflect back, did I really follow that through? But not because I didn't believe in it, but because maybe I was just desperate to get out the door and I had to have some way of getting them out the door. Because I think my old way of seeing things is a bit like having ammunition. And I see that with, you know, kids, you know, they get them into the car seat and then they've got this biscuit that seems to be kind of just falls out the pocket. And oh, there's the biscuit. It's like they've got biscuits everywhere just sort of ready to kind of, you know, offer the kids. And, oh, no, she'll do that if she has this, you know, and oh, the cup. oh yes, there's the cup, otherwise she'll scream, you know, so there's all this sort of ammunition everywhere. And whereas, you know, the aware parenting kind of invites us to let that drop and just be with our children in a completely different way, without, you know, what's called, you know, and I'd love to obviously talk about that more another time, but, you know, these concepts of a control pattern, things that we may be doing with our children to avoid their feelings. And so, yeah, it's I don't know if you want to say anything there about the rewards and punishments and that principle.
Yeah, so for me and my journey, I mean, goodness, when I started parenting, it was the naughty step, you know, there would be the naughty step, you'd be shut in your room, you'd need to cry it out, you wouldn't have any kind of physical contact or attention. You know, I had my children at first child at 20, just turned 23. And so yeah. I was reliant on a lot of I wasn't quite ready for it, shall we say. And my son knows, it was a lovely surprise. It wasn't something I'd thought through, planned, researched or anything. So going into parenting can throw you, obviously, when, you know, at the best of times when you're not knowing what it's going to be like, of course. And so then would follow, you know, nanny, I can't remember the name now, but the nanny that was, you know, for the naughty step was mm-hmm. there. And that was such a big thing, you know, you'd go on the naughty step and you'd follow this nanny guidance. And those punishments now, I think, goodness, I would just never dream of that now. I mean, it just feels so torturous that's what they went through. Yeah. And then the rewards absolutely can just slip in without even realizing it. I think often I can go and go, oh, well, I've just done that as a reward then. Oh, if you do that, we'll do this. Or, you know, let's do this first and then we can do that. And it can just come out really easily with language. I think language has been such an interesting exploratory through this journey of how language can just totally just come out without even any realization that what it's saying and how saying things. And so again, for me in my journey, it's been about trusting the children and trusting myself to be present with them and what they need, and to trust that I can hold the big feelings and that I can hold it when I see a control pattern coming in, and I might put a loving limit in to say, okay, I'm not going to, you know, we can talk about the broken cookie phenomenon that Elisa describes in, you know, in parenting, but, you know, you're not going to give the third cookie or whatever. And that, you know, I'm right here and I'm listening, rather than a punishment of or another reward, you know. And so being able to sit with that and trust that you can hold the big feelings, I think was the biggest I think I could really start. I feel like I didn't go, you know, step one, step two, step three, attachment style parenting, punishment rewards, and then listening to feelings. I feel like obviously that's not how Aletha suggests you do it anyway. But that, you know, it's such a mishmash. And actually, until you can, for me, until I felt comfortable with the releasing through crying and raging or through play, then I felt, when I got more comfortable with that aspect, then I was like, okay, I feel like I can drop more of the rewards and punishments now. I feel like I can, you know, take the dummy away or whatever it might be, to be able to then have the ability to sit with whatever is in the release. So I do notice in conversations that it quite quickly, especially with our schooling system and the way that runs, and, you know, any class that you take your children to, there's always so much subtle rewards that come into play that I catch myself go, oh, and then, you know, and it's interesting, I think, in conversation with other parents about how language can just come in without realizing, and then reflecting back and noticing the rewards or even the slight punishment that's been put into place. So that's a really interesting subject to delve into deeper, and how it feels in your body when you receive a reward, you know, that sudden a recognition or whatever it might be, but then actually long term. And I've talked a lot with colleagues in the dance sector about this, and how in dance classes, you know, praise and the wording of praise, and how that might be, you know, for someone, and again, something to come back to, but what that feels like in the moment when you praise somebody, but actually the long term what we're looking for, the intrinsic motivation, and how we're building on the internal system and what that feels like in the body, rather than in the moment patient reward that kind of is passed on.
No, and if I could just come in there about that, I think that is certainly a theme for me that I see with aware parenting, because obviously, you know, the founder is a psychologist and a very good one at that. So it's just that piece about, yeah, well, why wouldn't you praise somebody? Because you want them to have that intrinsic motivation themselves. So that is a really key aspect for me. And it runs through quite a lot of aspects. It's like even looking at, why would you be listening to the crying? Why would you be supporting a child to cry and rage and release their emotion? Because actually, there's some pretty good scientific evidence to show that tears are full of cortisol, and that, you know, we see even our babies, you know, braced and straightening themselves and tight, and their bodies are just full of these hormones. And, you know, when they release through the tears, you know, their body just goes zhuzh, zhuzh, you know, it just completely goes kind of, you know, I've come to that place in myself where I'm in that deep place of ease. And that's, you know, that's such an affirming thing for us, isn't it, as aware parenting advocates, is we see the results. It's a very tangible, and you could say an embodied result, because, you know, the child and ourselves might be like this at the beginning, but then when we follow through, we think, okay, you know, we can really come back to who we really are, and, you know, feel safe, feel well, feel whole, feel connected, which I think it's something we can't always put into words. So it is something that you just really feel in your whole being when something feels right, you know. And, you know, that idea that I just so love when I think of the number of times that my kids would have, you know, run after the Nutella jar, you know, and hidden it behind the radiator, you know, with the little spoon in it. And it definitely wasn't them that put it there, you know, nobody else put it there. But this idea that, oh, wow, you know, they had a feeling, they had a need. They weren't being just, you know, crazy or angry, or, you know, they had lots of feelings. And, you know, they didn't feel brave enough to show me their feelings. So they're not wrong. They're not bad. I just love that idea that the child, you know, is always seeking harmony within themselves. And sometimes they do it by, you know, stuffing themselves with food or getting cross or getting angry. And, you know, we just need to keep on coming back to the bigger picture, don't we? Which is, you know, the wonder of it all.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And what is their need right now in that moment? And what is your need right there in that moment? You know, what is...
It's totally, And, yeah, I mean, perhaps... we might circle towards something that's a little bit tangible shortly. Yeah. But just last thing, and maybe we'll bring it in more detail, but this whole idea of cortisol, like, I just love the fact that, you know, Dr. Salter points towards it again and says, okay, if you've got a lot going on up here, and I just relate it to the washing machine, if you've got a lot of going on, and like this, a whole body, a whole being is vibrating with, oh God, I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if I should do this. We feel tight. We feel rigid or whatever. And all of this is spinning on and on. It's not a very great environment for learning. Whereas if you can just let the steam off, a bit like the electric kettle, if all of that steam can just be released, whether it's through, as you were saying, the laughter, the play, the crying, the raging, we can have a nice cup of tea. We can actually connect. You know, it's so much easier. Whereas I think each one of us knows how, what it feels like to be tight and pent up and all those stress hormones.
Yeah. You know, and as you're saying that, I can feel the tension of the day as we're a bit later in the day in my shoulders. So I'm wondering if we want to come to a moment of perhaps where you are right now. We can just find some comfort to sit or lie or stand. And maybe we could just take a minute to roll the shoulders, allow the shoulders to move and release. There's always so much tension that can go in the upper body, in the chest area, in the neck and the shoulders. And just having the space to lift the shoulders up and let them drop right down and noticing the environment around you, noticing the floor, maybe the seat, whatever part of your body is connected to the environment, and feeling your whole body in the space. And maybe just allowing the shoulders to have a little bit more of a faster movement, just to release any last minute tension and stress, and letting it all just settle down. And for me, connecting through hands is a really key part of my work. So I'm going to bring my hands to my chest right now and just allow the connection in through the chest, in to the breath and the jaw, and just noticing the heartbeat, not trying to change the breath, not trying to change the heartbeat, but noticing the seat that you're sitting on or the floor you're standing, and noticing how your chest is feeling right now. It might be that you gently touch your chest area, it might be that you stroke or that you just hold, but you just notice how your upper body feels, and you notice what thoughts are coming, and notice how deep your breath is or how shallow it might be. And just taking a moment to deepen the breath a little bit more. Lengthen out the back of the neck. Allow the chest to relax down deeply. Feeling into the environment that you're in right now. And just noticing your jaw and your neck. And noticing from the conversation we've just had what thoughts might be lingering. Noticing if there's any judgment, if there's any guilt or shame that can be let go. And noticing what the body feels like in this moment. Taking a minute to notice the connection of the hands to the chest. And taking a minute to notice the breath. Allowing a little gentle movement in the upper body, the softening, perhaps being aware of the shoulders, the chest or the upper back is feeling tight, noticing the neck. And just allowing the thoughts to settle, coming back to what the emotion might be in the body. Perhaps there's some fear of not being good enough. Or perhaps there's some frustration or anger for not being heard. Just allowing to notice where that's sitting right now. I'm just going to take another breath in as deep as you can, noticing how the chest moves, noticing if there's some more relaxation and lightness that can be brought to that area. Maybe that's moving your hands if they've become quite stiff and still. Maybe that's moving the neck or the shoulders. And just bring an awareness to the feet, to the backs of the legs, the upper body. And just bring an awareness of the sounds around you and the environment you're in right now. Can you bring some compassion and love for your inner child? Can you bring some awareness of what they need to hear right now? And when you feel ready, just take in a final breath. Allow the body to soften. And allow yourself to come back to the environment that you're in, taking your time to notice your feet and your hands. And notice where you are right now. How was that for you, Sarah?
I suppose the lovely thing about it, Vicky, is that something, one of my key values is that I don't think anyone should parent alone. And the first thing I notice when I open my eyes, I see you. And that's very joyful for me to feel that I'm not alone because, you know, perhaps this is another theme, but there's many, many times that I felt really, really alone as a parent. And, you know, if I want to start crying, I can say alone in the dark, you know, feeding in the dark or trying to feed in the dark or trying to make it work in the dark. And, you know, that's notwithstanding the fact that I have a fine husband with me. But I think there's many, many times when we parents can feel really alone. So the healing for me is in that connection, opening the door to others and sharing and being with. That is such a key part of aware parenting for me, just to open up and to say, look, let's do this together. Let's learn from each other. Let's support each other. That's the magic of that for me.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's been lovely sharing this first session with you, and I'm really looking forward to our next sessions of embodying aware parenting.
Thank you for listening. Aware parenting has been life-changing for both of our families, and we'd love to hear your reflections and answer your questions.
Contact Vicky and Sarah on the links below. We both offer a free introductory consultation. We'd love to hear from you. Let's discover the joy of parenting together.